I'm 65 now, and I think the older I've got, the more calm I've got. I've just realised that, you know, something bad happens, you get all agitated about it. And I've had times where, you know, when you go to bed and you can't think about anything else, I think, just go, it happened. That's it. It's no point worrying about it, because it's bad enough that it's happened, but worrying about it makes it doubly as bad. So I just go, oh, well. Oh, well.
Hiya, hello, welcome to episode 5 of the Queer Gaze series 2. The Queer Gaze is a very queer and very arty podcast brought to you by me, Ashley Owen, and Homotopia. Each week I chat to some of the UK's most loved artists, creatives and icons about their lives, careers and views on the arts. We have such a treat for you this week. But first, let me quickly tell you about our sponsors, Northwest Cancer Research. Without them, this episode would not be possible. Northwest Cancer Research is an independent charity dedicated to putting the region's cancer needs first through pioneering research and education that tackle the cause, improve the care, and find the cure for cancer. The region suffers from social deprivation and health inequalities that, when combined, lead to lower than average life expectancy and quality of life for the community. But their award-winning engagement work tackles these inequalities through education, awareness, and prevention work. Our guest this week is artist and artist model Sue Tilley. Sue is most famous for being Lee Bowery's best friend and for modelling for a Lucian Freud painting that sold for over $30 million. She is now in her 60s and makes her own art while living in Hastings. I hope you enjoy our chat. Sue is such an easygoing person with an amazing attitude to art and life in general. I'll leave you to her. Hi Sue, it's so nice to meet you and have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Quite perky, in fact.
So the first question is a question I always like to ask people, and that is, how would you describe who you are and what you do?
See, that's a very complicated question because I don't really know. So I do a lot of this and I do a lot of that. I just do anything that anyone asks me to do, really. In the world of art, I often have to give talks. I was the model for Lucian Freud, so I've got that. I was the best friend of Lee Bowery, so I talk about that. And then I do quizzes. I run art classes. I do a bit of designing, a bit of painting, this and that. Anything I'm asked to do, I turn my hand to it.
Love that. So you're just an all-around artist.
Yeah. I'd say I'm a jack of all trades. Absolute master of none. I do a bit of a lot of things, but not anything very well.
Don't be saying that. I don't believe that for a second. So what were you like as a child?
Well, my mum's got dementia. She lives up the road and I go and see her every day. So I've been spending a lot of time thinking about my childhood and remembering things and that. To be honest, I think I was a bit of a beast.
How so?
I was the oldest grandchild on both sides. You know, so I was a bit spoiled. But, I was a bit bad-tempered. I wasn't really horrible or anything. But I was always determined to get my own way and very keen on lying on the floor, kicking my arms and legs about. But then always sort of getting my nose in things and doing this and doing that and trying to do this and reading and writing and drawing. And it was very nice because till I was 6, I lived in a big house in Paddington with my auntie and uncle and my 2 cousins and my sister. So I always had, like, friends handy. And my cousin's only, like, 9 months younger than me, so she was like my sister and we shared a room. So I always had sort of inbuilt friends to do things with and play with and everything.
So you were always busy and you were never lonely?
Oh, no. Never really bored. I'm never really bored in life. I can always manage to find something to entertain myself.
I'm the same. I always say only boring people can be bored.
Exactly. There's always something to do, something to look at, something to think about.
So did you always know that you wanted to be around creatives and you wanted to be an artist, or is this something that you fell into because of life?
I kind of fell into it because of life, because I was like doing art and crafts and making clothes and faffing around. And then I was very lazy at school, though. Couldn't be bothered. I was scared of doing homework. And luckily, my mum and dad weren't really very strict, so they didn't really force me to do it. They pretended they were, but they didn't really. I thought, what can I do? Oh, it was too hard to apply to art school. So I just went to teacher training college to train to be an art teacher, which was 3 years of my life that I've completely forgotten about. I can't say I learned anything or achieved anything or did anything special in those 3 years whatsoever. And then when I left, my life changed. I moved to London. I went to sign on. They went, oh, there's a job here in the job centre. So I went, all right, then I'll do that because that's what I'm like. All the time I had this steady job. I was in a flat with like people who went out to all the trendy clubs and all that. And so I got to know all those people and everything. And so I'd always be hanging around creative people, though I wasn't particularly creative myself. But often Lee Barry would ask me to make something for me. I'd turn my hand and make it for him. And then finally, when I was about 57, I made redundant from work. And then suddenly my life just became what I wanted it to be. But I'm kind of glad that I did all those years at work because now I've got a pension and things like that. I know it's a bit pathetic, but it's really handy and useful.
It's rare for artists to have that little bit of like security behind them.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I've got my work pension and I get my state pension next year, but I won't have to do any work at all. I will though.
Obviously, like you've had such a life, you've had so many amazing experiences and you're such a like a yes person. I feel like you just grab onto everything, which I love and I'm jealous. I'm like way too...
Well, I'm sure you're like that.
I'm too anxious as a person, so I like overthink everything and like I wish I was more free and fluid.
No, but you know what? What you've done is you've set up doing these podcasts. I never do anything of my own accord. I have to wait for people to ask me. I don't want the responsibility. I try and make my life responsibility free. Someone said to me, do this, I'll do it and I'll be in charge of it. But I don't have my head think, oh, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. So what's life like now? Like, tell me a typical day in the life of Sue Tilly.
Well, today I got up about 10 o'clock because I'm a bit lazy. And then I went to see my mum because she only lives up the road. So I was going to see her. Came home. And I'm doing this. I love to do funny little jobs. That's my favourite thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, most days I live a very sort of normal life. Watch telly, read books. Chatting to people is my favourite. Going out for lunch, pop out to lunch. You know, because where I live, it's a funny little town, but there's lots to do. And I know lots of people who live here. So, yeah, generally, get up, go and see my mum, maybe meet someone for lunch. Pop out, maybe do a little call like this or something.
Yeah.
And that's about it, really.
Love it. So you're known as a queer icon, which is why I was so excited. I know Sue's pulling a face right now.
I don't like being called an icon of any kind.
If you think about it, how do you think that you've received this title? What draws you to people of the queer community or what draws them to you? Maybe it's that way around.
I think it is. Till I was about 18, I'd never really met a gay person that I knew of. Well, I had, but I didn't know till later that they were gay. And then I was 21. I went to work in the job centre and I met a gay boy there. Of course, suddenly I realised that that's what I like in life. Because I think really, you know, I hate that expression. I'm a gay man, really, in my thoughts. Suddenly it all made sense. And so he took me out and I met everyone. And because I'm chatty and I'm easygoing. I'm not really threatening, you know, so people are generally quite nice to me. And I'm, you know, I help them and be kind and be a monster sometimes if it suits me.
Was there a sense of like, oh, these are my kind of people when you were starting to meet people of the LGBTQ+ community?
Yeah, it was really. But, you know, I like all types of people. It's not like I want to live my life in the gay world.
Yeah.
I do a lot, but not. I don't want to exclusively stick myself in that world, if you know. I like to see everyone. Because if you don't, I think that's why I've got quite a wise view on the world. Because, you know, when I worked on the job centre, I met so many people. You know, like regular people who work there, the people coming in with all their problems. And so generally, I just like to see people as people and I don't really like to label them.
Yeah. I can imagine if I ever went to you when you worked in the job centre, I'd just want to sit and chat to you all day. Just have a good gab.
Oh, yeah. I'm still friends with some of my customers.
Oh, I love that. That's so nice. So you were an artist for Lucian Freud, as you've mentioned, and one of the paintings that you modelled for sold for over like $33 million.
Something like that.
Something like that. So how did that change your life?
The day that I found that out is the day my life completely changed. You know, like in your life, it's a moment where your life changes.
Yeah.
The day the Evening Standard came into my work to tell me this was happening was the day my life changed. And it kind of became the life I wanted.
Yeah.
With like little opportunities coming up all the time that I love, because I like doing weird things. Like sometimes you like little telly and that. And I don't really want to do it because I want to be on the telly. I do it because I like seeing how the telly works and meeting people. The other day, well, no, last year I did a telly programme on the BBC and I was modelling. But my favourite bit, there was an Olympic swimmer on it as well. And I love Olympics and sports. So I did was just drive him mad asking questions. But he won a bronze medal in the Commonwealth Games yesterday.
Come on.
On Instagram, I said, well done. He replied back and went, thank you.
Oh.
I love little things like that.
You're such a people person, aren't you?
Oh, I am. I love knowing people's business and how their minds work and what they are. Do you know what I mean? That's why I'm never bored. Because I can just go down, sit on the prom, and just sit and look at people. And that's fascinating.
Yeah, people watch, yeah, love that. After the painting sold, you were being interviewed a lot and the painting was shown a lot all around the world. You know, it broke a record for being the most expensive painting.
I know.
By a living artist to ever be sold. Like, suddenly the world had seen Sue naked.
I know. And I think the reason is because a lot of these artists, models, are like quite serious. And then there's me. Just they're talking about rubbish. So I think I went down quite well on the telly because I wasn't like all full of myself.
Exactly. You weren't like a pretentious artist model. You're like so down to earth.
No, it's true.
As a bigger person, when I saw the picture for the first time, it was really liberating for me to see someone like in a bigger body being so beautiful and like being admired. That was the first time I'd seen a bigger person as like a muse and like a beautiful work of art to be had, sort of thing.
Oh, thank you. That's what I love. People are always so nice to me and so kind. And like when it happened and that, then people saw me, they were really thrilled because it was such a bizarre thing to happen to someone. It's like no one else in the world's really had that experience.
Yeah. It definitely feels like there should be some sort of like film or something made.
Well, maybe.
Mm.
I sold the film rights 20 years ago.
Did you?
For loads of people. But there's one going on at the moment, but it's going on so long. I'm not holding in.
Yeah.
If all this had happened when I was really young, I'd have been a nightmare. But now I'm old, just go, oh, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. I've had a lot of fun with it and I've met loads of really exciting people. So whether it ever gets made or not, I don't know. But it's at the BFI at the moment, apparently.
Oh, I'm excited. I hope to hear something about that soon. It'd be so good.
I saw the writers in January. They said, oh, we're going to send you the crypt in 4 weeks. It's now August. Still never seen it.
Oh, matter. Bloody creatives. We take our time, don't we?
You see, I don't know. I don't. If you ask me to do anything, I'll do it on time. That's because I'm not really a creative.
Would you say that all of the reaction was like really positive?
I mean, a couple of people wrote funny things, but as they say, all attention's good attention.
Exactly. So the art that you create, how does your body and your identity influence your practice?
You see, I think I'm going to really let you down now. I never actually think that about being fat or anything. I couldn't care less. I am. So what? No one's ever horrible to me about it. I'm sure they are behind my back, but never to my face. And I just dress as nice as I can, put nice makeup on and just look as nice as I can. And I think I make other people happy, other women happy. So I go, oh, at least I'm not as fat as her.
What do you like? I actually love that answer, though, because being like the artist model and stuff, and it's all centered around body. I kind of love that your art is like nothing to do with that.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Just accept me for what I am. And that's the way it is. Thing is, sometimes I try and go on a diet, but I love food so much. It's hard.
I can relate, Sue. I can definitely relate.
I hardly drink. I don't really smoke. You know, I've got to have something in life.
Yeah, definitely. This series of the podcast is actually sponsored by Northwest Cancer Research. The theme is You Know Your Own Body Best. Now, I know that you've had your own personal experiences with cancer. I was wondering if that had affected your art in any way or your relationship with your body.
Not really.
No?
I did a little series of paintings of, I took famous paintings and kind of put myself in them. So I was always a bit that I had to be naked. I'd like to have my clothes on in pictures. And it was useful as well because you had to copy other painters' work, and that's quite interesting, and studying the pictures. And then I put those in me with a few little scars and minus a bosom. They didn't make a very big stir. No one was really interested. But I liked it and I enjoyed doing it and I learned a lot. So that was nice. But in general, and I like doing commissions. People just ask me to draw something, I'll paint it for them.
So it was just a case of like, this has happened and then we need to do what we've got to do to recover from it. And then it's like, we just carry on.
I was really shocked in myself because when I was a kid, I was petrified of getting cancer. It was like, I don't know why, I was just obsessed about it and thought it must be the most awful thing on earth. And then when I got it, I was going, well, this is a bit odd. I'm not really bothered. And it wasn't like me saying to myself, I've got to be strong, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. I've just gone with it. An adventure, really, learning the things that they did and all that. Because I hadn't really spent a lot of time with doctors for many years, and I sort of ended up my social life going up to the doctors and the hospital.
Do you feel like you're a lot stronger than you thought you'd be? Is it a case of that?
I really surprised myself. But it wasn't like I was thinking I've got to be strong. I just was, without thinking about it. And I think I quite shocked the cancer specialist. Well, after it was all over, I went, oh, wow, that wasn't really as bad as I thought. She went, well, you're the first person who's ever said that to me. But I got out. I managed to get out of having chemotherapy, so that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, you're amazing. Like, I need some of your attitude in my life.
It's not like I work it.
Yeah, it's just who you are, isn't it?
I'm 65 now, and I think the older I've got, the more calm I've got. I've just realised that, you know, something bad happens, you get all agitated about it. And I've had times where, you know, when you go to bed and you can't think about anything else, I think, just go, it happened, that's it. It's no point worrying about it. It's bad enough that it's happened, but worrying about it makes it doubly as bad. So I just go, oh, well. Oh, well.
So, Sue, could you talk about any challenges that you faced within your career or being in the arts?
Not really.
No?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm the worst interviewer, but...
You know.
Do my art because I want to. Because I've really got no ambition in life. But considering I've got no ambition, I haven't done bad. But I don't get worked up about art. I just do it for the pleasure of it. So I don't really...
That's what it should be like, really, shouldn't it?
Not like thinking, I want to be the greatest artist. I want to have my pictures here, there and everywhere. I'm happy if they're on someone's wall. I love it. And I've made a range of, well, these people have made some of my paintings of Leon Troja, made them into outfits and that. I see someone wearing them. I love it. That's enough for me.
Yeah, you just really take it in your stride. You're just like,
yeah
that was a cool opportunity and that was what it was.
And when I think, the things I've done in my life, I can't quite believe it. I think they're things I wouldn't even think of that I'd want to do.
Yeah.
They're even more bizarre than the things I wanted to do that I never did. I was in a musical. Someone played me in a musical that was on Broadway. That was very bizarre. Who would have thought?
So I've got a confession to make. I actually auditioned to play you in Taboo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're
good singer. Well, I'm not the best. Like, I didn't get the job.
What? I'm the worst in the world. I can't sing enough.
So I should have got the job then.
You should have done.
What do you think is like the wildest thing that you've done in your career? What is the thing that makes you look back and think, I can't even believe that happened or I did that?
I think the day Taboo opened in Broadway, to be honest, it was amazing. So I had some friends who lived there. And first of all, one of them took me to some New York showbiz lawyer. And I know that sounds daft, but you know, in films, they go to the lawyer, showbiz lawyers, and there's all photos of music. It was just like that. And then I think he took me to lunch in Grand Central Station, the Oyster Bar. Then he says, oh, I've got a hairdresser. He's going to do your hair for the show. I just thought it was a little hairdresser on the corner. It was the poshest hairdresser in New York up at... what's that, Berghoff Goodman's hairdresser.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Been done that for about 5 hours. I think one of the McCulkins was next to me, and everyone was thinking, who's this funny fat old bird? So then, of course, that took so long. This head actor run me all down the back stairs of Berghoff Goodman, and then he was in the street screaming at drivers, throwing dollars at them. And then we got as far as Times Square, and that was completely blocked because Madonna was playing MTV. Then I had to run back to the hotel where my friend was waiting for me. We emptied the minibar, then went to see Taboo, and it was so thrilling. I was sitting behind Elaine Strick and the man from Kiss. So weird. I'd seen it in London, but this was a different version. And then we went to someone's bar and then went to the party where it was like everyone under the sun was there. That was always a very special day in my life, I think.
So can I say, I have no idea how you are so normal. Your life, like, so much has happened. How did it, has it not all gone to your head? Like, how are you not an absolute nightmare?
They all happened when I was quite old, you see. If it had been when I was young, I probably would have been a nightmare. All this happened really when I was in my late 40s and really took off when I was about 60, all my best things. And so, you know, you're grounded and you've got that life behind you.
There's nothing pretentious about you at all, and it's just so nice.
It's a bit weird. I went to Queer on the Pier on Saturday, and I kind of forget, because see, this is a small town, everyone knows your business. And I had people just coming up to me going, oh, we love you. I'm like, what? Even I had a new dress on for Marks and Spencer. But so many people would go, I wanted to say, I love your dress. And I'd surprise them and go, yeah, sure. Because they think I'd be some fashionable designer. Well, Marks and Spencer's.
So if you look at like the work that you've created yourself, would you say it says anything about you as a person?
I'm colourful and I'm bright. I think it says that about me. But do you know, I forgot what I did. Do you know about my lockdown? I did these art classes online.
Oh, no, I didn't know about this.
That's brought me so much pleasure. I'm not the greatest artist in the world, I know it. But I had these art classes online because Hastings is a very creative place. And this boy I know set up this isolation station. They did local produced television station. And he asked me to do an art class. And it was so lovely. You know, I don't plan things ahead. They just sort of become what they become. So the first one I modelled, but it was all on this thing. So no, I couldn't chat to anyone. They could type messages. I thought, well, this could be boring if I just sit here and people draw me every week. I thought, I know. Cool. Every week I interviewed someone I know. I did Scotty, who you know, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I interviewed them while people drew them.
Yeah.
They could type questions in and they come up on the screen and I'd ask the questions. And then they send the pictures in the drawing. We have a little gallery at the end of the week. But because of COVID, we all meant to have an exhibition, but we couldn't. But we finally had an exhibition in January in Hastings Museum. And it was so lovely because people were joining in from all over the world.
Yeah.
A lot of people had never met each other, but they really felt they knew each other because they'd see them chatting and drawing them. And so it was really lovely when they all finally met up when we had the launch party finally a few months ago.
I love that.
So that people go, oh, I remember I did your art classes. I love them so much. I didn't even know. Done them.
Would you do them again?
Yeah, but you know, people say it should be on the telly. So to interview someone and then we draw them, but no one's ever asked me.
If anyone's listening, you know what to do. If you need Sue's email, let me know. I'll pass it on.
I'm not going to go to the telly and ask to do it myself because that's not how I work.
No, they've got to come to you.
I like to come my way, but then half the things that come my way never happen, but I don't mind.
I know that you don't like to plan things in that way, but is there anything that you think I would like to do that?
Yeah, there is. I'll tell you what. I want to be a contestant on Richard Osman's House of Games. It's my dream.
Oh, we need to make it happen, Sue.
I know. I love that programme. Have you ever seen it? No, it's this weird quiz, but I love it. Because I love quizzes as well. Because I know a little bit about a lot of things. But not about everything. I'm quite good at quizzes. But yeah, that's my ambition. There we go. Richard Osman, if you're listening. I know he knows who I am because he once tweeted something to me. So perhaps I should just tweet him and go, can I be on your show? But I wouldn't like to do that. I like things to happen organically, if you know what I mean.
Love it. Whose work are you inspired by or particularly loving at the moment?
Well, the reason I started back doing that is I've got a friend called, he's a Portuguese artist called Rui Miguel Liteo Ferreira. And I met him through saying yes to something. Someone asked me to model for some charity gig and chat about my life. And he was the other model. We became friends. I thought he was a model. I didn't know he was a proper artist. But he's very good and he's always making me. He really wants to start me drawing again. He's always moaning at me that I don't paint enough because he's like, you know, a real proper artist.
Yeah.
That all he thinks about is art the whole time.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't. So he's a great influence on me. He's very good. But he's having an exhibition in, I think, in next year anyway, in Vauxhall, of all the paintings he's done of me.
Wow.
Since he met me, he's been having this plan that I just thought he was talking. You know, people plan ahead, like 8, 9 years ahead. And the pictures of me with my clothes on and him naked, kind of like a opposite of the Lucy and Freud concept thing.
Yeah.
So that's quite exciting. But he's a good influence in my life. Another one of my friends directed ABBA. You know, ABBA Voyage?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to the opening of that and to the preview I went. And I'm just amazed at how hard, you know, I really admire people who work hard. In a million years, I couldn't do that. I know my limitations. I'm planning. Don't even know if it's happening. I'm meant to be going to Las Vegas. I'm already booked up and excited in my head that when I go to the opening in Las Vegas.
It's had like amazing feedback, hasn't it?
It's unbelievable. And I'm so proud that my friend did it.
Yeah. Wow.
I know, but I'm so full of admiration and disbelief because oh, I'm never so lazy. I love to lie around and watch the telly most of the time, read a book.
Oh, I think you're a spirit animal too. I'm not going to lie.
Are you like that as well?
Yeah. I'm so good at just relaxing.
You know, like people, they do a job and they stay up to about 5 a.m. So they're so worked up about it. Oh, I'm in my bed by midnight. But I'd never like be doing work and think, oh, I've got to finish this. I've got a bit dark. Oh, no, it's always tomorrow. Life and enjoying yourself is more important than work, I believe. When I went to work, people worked so hard, but for what reason? And then when you realise, when you finish work, most of what you did was a load of pointless. Why did you... Meetings, that's the thing I hate.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled that I now don't have to go to meetings.
So is there anything that you could think that you'd like to see more of in the arts?
Women? No, I think actually I don't think art is that discriminatory to women when I think... Not now. I mean, in the past, it's more famous men, but now it's just many women artists, well, isn't there? But yeah, I'm not a huge feminist, but I just think everyone in the world, whoever you are, whatever you do, you should be treated equal. And it's beyond my comprehension how some people, you know, like Brexit, they don't want foreign people come to this country. I don't understand it. Because it makes your life so much richer and so much interesting. And, you know, people go on about, oh, trans people, what's the point? Why are they like... Well, so what? You know, we're all people.
I just don't understand why people think it's their business to comment.
I know. Gay marriage. No one's making you get married. Live and let live, I say.
People are just looking for problems, aren't they, to moan about?
Working them myself up about something that's nothing to do with them. And America at the moment, it's just beyond belief. How backwards they're going. It just horrifies me.
It's scary. I really agree with what you're saying. Like, the more variation in cultures and genders and sexualities, we can all learn from each other. And
exactly.
Life's so much more interesting when there's a variety of people and not just the same.
I mean, I don't know many people who live, you know, a normal life. But then when I meet them, it's a whole new world I don't really know about. So at the time, I'm quite interested because it fascinates me.
It's kind of like... Is this enough for you? Do you ever think that for people who don't really experience the world and they're quite narrow-minded, it's like, is this enough?
Yeah, but it seems to be. They enjoy it. You know, I meet people in mum's home and her big excitement is going to Morrison's once a week. I think, well, if that's what you like and you're happy with that, that's nice. But might I get excited going to Marks and Spencer, so, you know.
In between that, you know, it's also good to throw in a little Broadway premiere.
Exactly.
A little TV job.
But I wouldn't like that to be my whole life. Because, you know, like people on the telly and actors and actresses, they're quite insecure, aren't they? Because they're so desperate for their next job and it's hard and it's a lot of rejection. So now, because it's just I do it or I don't, saves all that worry.
Yeah. What is the most useful piece of advice that you could give to an emerging artist?
Go out, get drunk, and meet people. In life, it's who you know, not what you know. It's useful. It's interesting. From the people I met in my going out days in the early 80s, so many of them, all my friends now, you know, so many of them, you know, half died, all the rest really successful.
Oh, Sue, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure meeting you.
Oh, it was lovely meeting you as well. You're very good. You've asked lovely questions. For some people, I don't really know.
It's refreshing to speak to someone who takes their art in their stride, says yes to everything and gives it all a go. What a remarkable person. If you're left wanting more, you can go back to previous episodes with Alex Ogden Clark, Tabby Lamb, Tom Marshman, and Vijay Patel. And, of course, there is the whole of Series 1 to enjoy. If you had fun listening, please leave us a review and rating and share this episode on your socials. This has been The Queer Gaze, hosted and produced by me, Ashley Owen. A big, huge thank you to Homotopia for their support, especially the amazing Olivia. Thanks to Loti Ernie for the artwork and to our sponsors at Northwest Cancer Research. See you next week.